بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The previous riwayat we read, it was narrated by Hazrat the hadith about 40 good qualities. It was narrated by Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. With regard to the narrator, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he accepted Islam before his father and was very prominent in worship. He was a great alim amongst the Sahaba. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is recorded to have said that none narrated more ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than him, except Abdullah ibn Amr, that is from Hazrat Abu Huraira, besides Abdullah ibn Amr, the narrator of this hadith, radiallahu anhu. He used to write a hadith while Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu would not, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission to do so. That is, when Hazrat Abu Huraira complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his memory was very weak, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to spread out his chadar, his sheet, and make dua for him. He said, after that, whatever word came out from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mouth, I never forgot it. I never had to write it or anything. I always remembered it. However, the narration from him are relatively fewer compared to those of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he lived in Egypt and the people who came to seek knowledge there were very few. Whereas Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu lived in Medina Munawwara, and Muslims from all over the world would come to seek knowledge and record hadith from him there. He participated in many battles with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed away in the year 65 Hijri, and 700 ahadith are narrated from him. With regard to the narration itself, further we read that here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained about 40 virtuous deeds, but did not elaborate on them, only on the one that if you have a goat and you allow people freely to milk it, only that one Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. However, the Sahaba, ulama have said, Allah Ta'ala through His mercy and grace has given us many avenues of doing good deeds. He accepts even the smallest of good actions when these are based on sincere intention. That is the main thing. Our intention must be correct and the amal also must be correct. If the intention is correct but the amal is not correct, like a person's intention with full sincerity, that he sees the poor people are suffering and the rich people are not giving zakat, so he goes and robs them and steals zakat from them, and he doesn't even keep 1 cent for him, he gives it all to the poor. But the amal was not correct, that amal is not accepted by Allah Ta'ala, no matter how good his intention is. And a person does the best of intention, takes charity properly, goes and gives it to people, all, he looks for the poor and the needy, but his intention is for name and fame. So that also will never be accepted. So our intention must also be correct, and the amal must also be correct. Then it is the smallest amal also has great value by Allah Ta'ala. But if the intention is not correct and the amal is not correct, it can be the biggest amal, but it will be rejected by Allah Ta'ala. And it is necessary for us to be concerned about it, to work towards it. Like if somebody tells us, you are going from here to Durban and watch out, there are speed traps at these places, and you just hear and forget about it, then you face the consequences. When you heard about it, now at those places, apply, go accordingly. Just like that, that's all we hear and we don't put it into practice. We just hear it but we don't put it into practice, then it won't help us also. In fact, we will suffer the consequences if we don't do accordingly. From other narrations, we learn that some of the 40 excellent deeds alluded to here are, one for example, concealing the faults of Muslims. That is very important, Muslim, that if they do anything wrong, don't expose him. Allah Ta'ala said that conceal the faults of a Muslim. If you do so, Allah will conceal your faults. But here also you have to see, these are those personal faults of a person. But when a person does wrong in the matters of deen, and is leading people astray, he himself is going astray, and is leading others astray, then there it is haram to conceal those faults. If a person does not speak about them, he is equally guilty of those gunas also. So when people are doing wrong and leading the people astray, people are giving wrong masalas, for example, leading people, making, telling people photography is permissible, for example, all those things, then there you don't conceal the faults of that person. His own personal matters, whatever he has done wrong, there we are told to conceal the faults. The other is planting a tree, planting tree, any vegetation, any vegetable patch, or any farming that we do is also of great merit. As we have read, that of whatever we plant and the birds eat of it, we get sadaqa sawab. Somebody steals from it, we get sadaqa sawab. That piece of ground, we sold it, and the other person carries on with that, though we sold it, logically now we shouldn't be getting a share, but still we get sawab for that also. Being compassionate to others, always to be kind and compassionate, and to be soft-hearted towards people. Yeah, we should check with our own wives, how much are we compassionate? How hard are we not on our wives? Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, the best amongst you is the one who is the best to his wives. So that we should say, how do we treat our wives? Many times we are very soft and kind-hearted, hearted with outside people. But our own children, our own wife, etc., we treat them in a very, very harsh and rude way that is not correct at all. And that is also so easy. And if a person maintains that, he'll have a life of Jannat in this house, in this world. If he lives nicely with his wife, she's happy with him, he's happy with her, both overlook one another, we all make mistakes and nobody is perfect. And then we can live a nice, happy life. But to take one another to task for small, small things, this you did is wrong, that you did is wrong, and then it's a bitter life. There is no enjoyment in that life. Sharing in the joys and happiness of people. Whenever somebody has completed Quran Khatam, they are giving a da'wat. We should go and join Walima da'wat. But again, with the condition that there mustn't be any haram that is happening. If there's anything haram, wrong happening there, then we are not permitted to go. It is the rule principle is mentioned, لَا يَجُوزُ الْحُضُورُ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ فِيهِ الْمَحْزُورِ. It is not permissible to partake of any gathering in which haram is taking place. If there is no parda arrangement, if there is no, they are taking photos, etc. They haven't made arrangements to sit on the floor, or are sitting at tables, on chairs, etc. Then to attend there is not permissible. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the greatest sahaba, was invited also for walima. As he came, approached the house, he heard some sounds which indicated that they were playing the duf, that is that little drum, which was not permissible. He turned around and went away. When somebody asked him that you were going for the walima da'wah, now why aren't you going? He said there is haram. And to be present there is not allowed. But where nothing is wrong and there isn't, the food also, you are quite satisfied, the food is in order. If you have your doubts which are realistic that the food is not in order, then also you shouldn't attend. Everything must be in order, then make your Muslim brother happy. Partake in his happiness also, attend there. Creating space for others to join in a gathering. What a small little thing. We are sitting and we see somebody came. There isn't place, we just moved up a bit little. And we see this quite common. And we are sitting and now somebody came, we got up and we gave him place. There is also a great deed. That small, it looks very small, but all this has got great, great reward by Allah Ta'ala. Replying to salam. That also, but unfortunately, this is gone about completely out from the ummah. We make salam, the most we hear, just like a cow making some sound. But the proper salam, jawab, that we hardly hear. Or somebody will just pick up his hand. Or he will just wink his eyes that I gave jawab. Now salam must be made. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, one Sudanese man, went to Hazrat and he said, don't just say Salaamu Alaikum. The alif at the beginning, Assalamu Alaikum. And it must be said clearly and loudly. Many of us, we just whisper it, as if we are shy to make salam. Salam is the shiar of Islam. Like the adhan, for example, if the muazzin just whispers and gives the adhan. We say that adhan is not correct, it must be given properly, loudly. And today, where we are permitted to use the amplifier, the mic, we use that to make the salam loudly. The adhan, so salam also. Not that we go on shouting, etc., but loud and clear it must be. It comes in the hadith that when a person enters the house and he makes salam loudly and clearly, and he's replied to also according to that, Allah looks with rahmat to that house. But mostly we don't enter making salam. If the few who do, we just mumble it and just whisper it. Whereas it should be made loudly and clearly. Salam is a very, very sound, a song. How much salam there will be alive in our homes, in our businesses, when we go in the car, etc. Then so much peace there will be. It comes in the hadith that if two people are walking together, and a tree comes, and one goes this side of the tree, and the other one the other side. When they meet again, they should make salam again. It was just a few seconds that they went separate, but they should make salam again. That means in our times, like after namaz, we are going out of the masjid together. Father and son, for example, two brothers, two friends. And we were walking together. When we got in the car, the one got in at the driver's seat and the other one at the passenger seat. Again, we should make salam. And not mumble it, make it properly. How much more salam, so much more peace there will be. When salam is gone out of our life, now today we see all the problems, all the depression, all the anxiety, all types of sicknesses. Salam is the solution to all this. Now somebody is a drug addict, somebody has got this problem, all because we're not making salam, we're not invoking the peace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And answering the praise of one who sneezes. This today also, unfortunately, a person sneezes and we are told when you sneeze, muffle your sound. Don't sneeze so loudly like it looks like the foundations of the whole building are also shaking. And it looks like the whole, like Qiyamah is here. When Qiyamah is here, the earth will shake terribly. Some people sneeze like that so loudly, and they your head goes also, it's not in its place, so loudly they sneeze. And you don't hear, Alhamdulillah. How you sneeze, make say also loudly, clearly, Alhamdulillah. That we don't do. And when you reply to that, Alhamdulillah, Yarhamukallah. Also say it loudly and clearly. Those who do say it, also just like whispering. Like we are shy to show we are Muslims. We are shy to practice on the sunnah and the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the ways of the non-Muslims, hello, hi, that we say loudly, that we are proud of that. But our own tariqah and the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are like shy about it. In those matters, we must say it clearly. So those are a few of the 40 points which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. Allah give us tawfiq to make amal and bring them alive in our lives, inshaAllah. SubhanAllah.